Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Satsang. And can we turn the lights up as much as possible? Whatever, yeah. Blind everyone, please. So we've had a great retreat on Shiva process, and now tomorrow culminates in the intensive. And I like to, at the beginning of all my talks, I like to remember my guru, Swami Muktananda, who began every talk of his by saying in Hindi, Sabko Bare Sanmane Ke Sat Prem Se Radik Swagat. With great respect and love, I welcome you all with all my heart. And for him, the essence of spirituality was to welcome another person with an open heart. So in that spirit, I welcome you all. And he would always say his religion was to welcome another person, because he doesn't know of any God who exists except in the human form. So I welcome you. And I also welcome those of you who took the retreat, and those of you who didn't take the retreat, of course you're naughty, and those of you coming to the intensive tomorrow. And also everyone watching around the world, well, it seems like a big list today, all around the world, on the, what do we call it, the global satsang. In the United States, in New York, Ann Arbor, in Canada, in Ganesh Puri, in Japan, in Hungary, and in Spain, and all around Australia, Adelaide, Brisbane, Byron Bay, Mount Martha, and the Sunshine Coast. I won't mention any names tonight, but you know who you are, and we'll be coming up to the warmer climes very shortly. As I said, this is the eve of the intensive. And of course, the intensive is a program that Baba Muktananda created as a way of awakening people in the West. And so whenever, and he always insisted that I run and hold intensives, because he wanted as many people as possible to get the awakening. And so he always used to tell me to hold intensive, so I'm still doing it. And I always think of him, because to me it's his intensive, and I remember him intensely during that time. And that's why on the night before an intensive, we plunge into his teachings. First, let me say something about the retreat that's happened. We looked at the Shiva process, which is a method of self-inquiry. And self-inquiry is a time-honored form of meditation in which we discover the true self. We inquire within. It uses kind of scientific method, inwardly rather than outwardly, and we discover who we truly are. And I always find the roots of Shiva process in Kashmir Shaivism, and I talked about that during the retreat. And a while back, I also saw that the Buddha had his own form of the Shiva process, and I talked about it this week, but thought I'd share it now. This is from the Buddha, from one of the Buddhist scriptures, where he describes part of the path called right effort. He said there's an eightfold path, like right thought, right livelihood, and you know, eight things. One of them is right effort. And so this is definition of right effort. It's four actions. First, to maintain wholesome thoughts that are present to you now. So translating that in Shiva process terms, if you're in a good space right now, some of you will be, and some of you may not be. You will be removed from the premises and whipped. No, but if you're in a good space now, the Buddha says, hold it. Hold on to that good space. Bhagavan Nityananda said, bhavana rakho, keep the feeling. So that's the first one. Second one to let go of unwholesome thoughts that are present to you now. If you're in a bad space, it's caused by wrong thinking. So get rid of that now. So if you're in a good space, hold it. If you're in a bad space, get rid of it. Expel it. Third one is to prevent unwholesome thoughts from arising in the future. So in the present, we can get rid of bad thoughts, we can encourage good thoughts, and then also, what can we do now that will ensure being in a good space in the future? Well, if we do our spiritual practice now, if we meditate, if we say the mantra, if we do inquiry, it makes it more likely that we'll be good in the future. If we entertain negative thoughts, tearing thoughts, self-hatred, then it's more likely that we'll have negative thoughts in the future. And then finally, the fourth one, to encourage wholesome thoughts to arise in the future. So to prevent them and then to encourage good ones. So that's the Shiva process in Buddhist terms. It's very much like Bhavana Rakho. And it's very simple when you get down to it. If you're in a good space, hold it. If you're in a bad space, get rid of it. Your basic, see what Shaivism says and what the great sages say, is your essence, your essential you, is full of light and full of joy and full of love and full of peace. It's not what I thought it was in the 60s, where we were mad, insane animals, beasts of the jungle. I don't believe that anymore. The sages say that there's something beautiful inside of us. And so as we should move towards that, move towards the highest vision of yourself that you hold, and don't take no for an answer. So on the eve of the intensive, the subject is this man. The formless, there he is. This is Baba. Those who knew Baba would know that this is Gentleman Baba during his Western tours. He would never dress so spiffily if he was at home in Ganeshpuri, but this is during his world tour. He did three world tours. First in 1970, then again in 74, which I accompanied him on, and then again in 78. There were three world tours that he did. Next one. And the culmination, the biggest pizzazz, was when he spoke in Carnegie Hall in New York. And you can see what that's like there. Carnegie Hall is the glamorous venue where many concerts are held and so on. And I've been to Carnegie Hall for various concerts. I didn't manage to go, but my parents went to this, and they saw Baba there. And then what else do you have? You see, Baba's got a small mala in his right hand there, which is japa mala, where you can say the mantra on it. Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. And he used to walk around with that, I think, to demonstrate to us that we should be doing the mantra, you know. It was a great example. And that's Baba in the West somewhere, possibly in Fallsburg. You can tell by all the multicolored. He never wore multicolored in India. He wore all orange. His crazy assistant, Noni, was dressing him there, so that's what happened. All right, and finally, so today is Bastille Day, you know that? Yeah. When the French won the World Cup, I think it was, wasn't it? But it was also my late wife Girija's birthday. And it's also our Gargi's birthday today, so. And so here's Girija with Baba back in the 70s in Ganeshpuri. And the first question I'm going to read is one of hers. So, okay, thanks. So on December 24th, 1971, and we had been there, we'd been there about 8 months or something like that. Girija Sen. Girija, you can see, was an avid yogini, and she was always trying to improve herself, perhaps to a fault. She says, and this is question answers with Baba in India. Most of the other ones are from his world tours, a different flavor, but Girija says, after unsuccessfully trying to give up tea for 5 or 6 months, it suddenly stopped without effort or suffering. We used to have arguments about it. She would always say, I'm trying to give up tea. I say, why? Tea's good. Give up negative thoughts. Keep your tea. Anyway, I never won that argument. And so anyway, suddenly she managed to give up tea. I'm heartened to say that later on she took it up again, but anyway. In my battle with overeating, should I wait until this happens, or should I continue to struggle unsuccessfully against this addiction? Is it lack of faith to feel that I can conquer this by self-effort? And she was very effortful. She liked effort. And Baba says, now listen to what Baba says. Continue to strengthen your faith in the inner self, and then everything will follow itself. You should not brood about it at all. As you plunge deeper into the self, outer addictions become weaker and finally fall away of themselves. So this was Baba's approach, not so much to, not the negative approach of getting rid of these things, but the positive approach of ensconcing yourself more and more in the essence. And the stronger that your experience of the self is, the easier it is to give up bad tendencies. He says, you should be addicted to only two addictions. All other addictions are absolutely useless. First, what do you think they are? Name one of them. Good idea. He didn't say that, but that's what. First, you should be continually thinking of the Lord, which is the same. Second, you should be regular in food and eat only to live. These two addictions are like nectar, which brings you true peace and joy. Two things, remember the Lord and eat moderately. If you do not have faith in yourself, then you can't do much in life. Take the case of Uma, for instance. Not this Uma, but Uma was one of the most prominent American women there. Take the case of Uma, for instance. As soon as she met me, she gave up everything, including coffee, to which she was strongly addicted. She had many different types of coffee percolators, and she presented them to me. By faith in yourself, anything is possible. If you're addicted to stimulation through tea, cigarettes, coffee, and drugs, you will not be able to experience the inner intoxication so easily or so soon. If you look at smoking, you'll find it has absolutely no benefits. The only virtue that it has is that it ruins your system without the least difficulty. It's good that you've given up tea. You should only be addicted to contemplation of Lord Hari. Tukaram's the poet saint, has suggested the most wonderful addiction for addicts, to get addicted to the name of the Lord, to the mantra. Thank you for giving up tea, and whatever you were spending on tea, you should give to the ashram. He's very cute there with her, isn't he? Like, he finds it quite humorous that she's giving up tea, I think. All right, some questions from Baba's world tour. Question, Baba, what is the source of your love? How do you manage to love everyone all the time? And Baba says, I continue to love my own self, to increase love for my own self. My joy permeates everybody. The more you love yourself, not in an egotistical way, how can you tell the difference between an ego love and a and divine love? How do you tell the difference? Or can you? Well, yes, sir.
I think the ego love is a little bit more, well, I think the divine love is more soothing, more relaxing.
It's relaxing, yeah. It's not competitive. So the love, the ego is always a comparison or appearing in other people's eyes, you know, something like that. Yes?
The love is accompanied by a feeling of humbleness. And so this, the absence of the ego.
It's not an expansion of your personality. Yeah. Anyway, he says, for example, if you're weeping, if you're sad, if you're feeling pitiful, others start weeping along with you. You don't have to tell them, cry with me. Automatically they weep with you. In the same way, I laugh with joy, and spontaneously you catch that and you start doing the same. And it's true that Baba had a contagious joy. Express joy on your face, and another person will also start feeling the same thing. I look at everybody with joy. The vision of joy is great. The vision of joy. So, and Baba would say the vision of joy is a choice that we make. That actually our mental state are choices. And we have the power and the capacity to choose to think good thoughts that uplift us. And we should exercise that power and cultivate that power. Another question. How is it that we are able to experience your presence and your grace even when you're not physically present? And Baba says, the Shakti that has been transmitted into you is who I am. So the Shakti is the spiritual energy that people experience around a great being like that in an ashram when you meditate. He says that my real nature is not a person but the Shakti. It cannot be different from me. In the same way, when my guru, Bhagwan Nityananda, transmitted his Shakti into me, he himself entered into me. They say that when you receive that awakening, it's as though the guru, the essence of the guru, enters you. But it's not something from outside. It's actually an awakening of a capacity that we have inside of ourselves. We recognize that power. When a guru gives you the mantra, it is not only a mantra, he's actually entering into you in the form of the mantra. In meditation, you'll experience your own inner Shakti. So understand that this is me. This is me. This is me. Another one. Question. I've been meditating for the past 5 years and practicing yoga. Ever since I left the retreat, last retreat, I've been unable to meditate and I feel all this negativity coming up. Baba, this will pass. Just endure it. A lot there. You know, in the Sai Baba temple, it says, what does it say? Saburi, which is the capacity to endure. What's the other word for it? Endurance or perseverance. Yeah. So one of the great things, what?
Patience and faith.
And so in spirituality, we need to cultivate patience, you know. You don't build it in one day. Sometimes you get very uplifted and then it dissipates. And you have to have the strength there just to continue on and so on. So Baba says, endure it. It'll pass. And then question, am I burning up karma by having this come up? Baba, it is inner cleansing. However, do sit for meditation regularly. So even if you go through a dry patch, a bad patch, don't let that stop you from doing the practice. Because the practice, eventually, the self is more powerful than our ignorance. This is what we have to understand. And so we go through them, we do the practice, and we get the other end. Person says, I can't concentrate on meditation for long, just 1 minute or two. Baba says, let the mind go. It's mainly your mind's driving you crazy, all these worries and thoughts. Question. So much negativity comes to the surface. Awful things and feelings. Does this have anything to do with Shaktipat? Baba says, yes, it has a lot to do with Shakti. That's why I'm asking you to let it happen. Let it all come up. You should just meditate calmly. And whatever feelings emerge from within, let them emerge. Let whatever's going on. There's a process that goes on of cleansing. You like that? All right. Let's see. Okay, here's one. What's the best way to get rid of anger? Well, nobody's troubled by that, is it? Where's my drink? No. I wanted the top one. So I'll skip the one on anger, right? Nobody has any here. Okay. What's the best way to get rid of anger? And this came up in the retreat. Excuse me. My chest is better today, no?
Yeah.
Look for the source of anger. The Bhagavad Gita says that when there's a relationship between two things, that when there's a relationship between two things, desire arises. When a desire is not fulfilled, it turns into anger. That's what the Gita says. Anger is frustrated desire. You can see it in a kid. I don't get what I want. Then you have a tantrum, right? He says, so the source of anger is the desire for something. It can be desire, expectation, attachment, or any impression. For instance, a person has a donkey and you want it. You ever wanted somebody else's donkey? Happens a lot. Happens a lot. It's usually it's the donkey who wants something, you know. That person is going to give it to you. So you say, I'll get him. That's how one's life falls apart. Divorce can take birth right in the center of these things. When a person's desire is not fulfilled, it turns into anger. When a person gets really angry, he wants to hurt someone. And when this happens, he loses discrimination. If a person loses discrimination, understand that he's destroying himself. And the Gita says, you lose your memory, you lose your brains, you lose your discrimination means you lose what's good for you and what's bad for you. You can't, you know, what's a good action, what's a bad action. And then you go mad. It says madness comes from the seed of anger. I suppose it's true about one form of madness, isn't it? For this reason, anger is called the great enemy of man, no friend at all. The Lord said, O Arjuna, O brave one, try to conquer desire, because once it turns into anger, it destroys you. Therefore, conquer it. A person should really try to calm his anger, to cool down his anger. Understand that anger is very harmful, and get rid of it in your heart. If you get rid of attachment and desire, you won't have any anger either. In the Gita, the Lord said, O Arjuna, this anger arises from the Rajaguna. Rajaguna means, how can I explain that? It's one of the elements of life, the three gunas, Rajas, Tamas, and Sattva, and Rajas activity, desire. He says, Baba says, the stomach of desire is so vast. Isn't that a lovely metaphor? Desire has a stomach and it wants everything. Just say now, I want. I want. I want. I want. It's no accident that the word want is the same as the word lack. Because when you want something, it's always saying, because I lack it. And the yogis say, you don't really lack anything. You are the emperor of the whole world. You are the Lord. You are Shakti. You are Shiva. So there's no reason to feel a lack. He says the stomach of desire is so fast, no matter how much you put into it, it's never satisfied. There is so much beauty on this earth, but it's not enough to satisfy desire. Now they've reached the moon, and they want to go to Venus. They may say they're discovering many important things. No, It's nothing but desire, nothing but expectation. Its stomach is vast. It is the father of all sins. It is the enemy of knowledge of the self, the enemy of the bliss of the self. Okay, this is even more fierce than that. You ready for one? You enjoying this? What can I do to overcome a sudden feeling of antagonism towards divinity and God? Baba says, if you have a feeling of antagonism towards God, increase it. Have that feeling 24 hours a day. Be very friendly with all your neighbors and all the people around you. However, get really mad at God. Ask him, why did you give me this birth? Fight with him. Ask him, why did you give me this body? You can also get mad at him by saying, why do you sit so close to me? Why couldn't you sit far away from me? Day and night, get mad at him. Yaneshwar Maharaj wrote a beautiful commentary on this subject. He said that if you want to have an enemy, make God your enemy. When you think of God as your enemy, these feelings will change. Divine feelings will surge within you. If you might remember, Upasani Maharaj said that if when you're doing your mantra, you think of people that you hate or who hate you, it's good, because saying the mantra will purify the whole thing. And soon those people will improve and your relationship will improve. It'll all get better. Did you talk about that today? Okay. So there was a demon named Hiranyakashipu, and his son was Prahlad, who was a great devotee of God. But Hiranyakashipu hated God. Although he hated God, he thought of him so much that finally he attained God. Whatever action a person performs, that is what he attains. They also tell that about Lord Ram's enemy, Ravana, who was a demon, and he stole Sita, Ram's wife, and then he just was an evil being, and Ram came after him to slay him. And as Ram got closer and closer, Ravana got more and more ecstatic, because he knew he was going to be liberated by Ram killing him. And when he died, he went to heaven. That was the end of that incarnation. So whatever action a person performs, that is what he attains. Regardless of how you feel about fire, it will still give you warmth. If you touch it, you'll feel the heat. If you put yourself in the fire, it will burn you. Therefore, antagonism towards God is very good. That very feeling will change into the feeling of a friend. So if you have an association with God, even a negative one, God is powerful enough to transform you. Strange, no? We're not really recommending that, although it's a path many have walked. Let's see, should I just do one or I have two here? Should we do two? All right. We end with a really good one after all these bad ones. Question, why do we have tests? Because they always talk, we always would talk in Ganeshpuri, if we go through a bad part, the guru is testing me. The guru is testing me. Baba says, in ancient times, realization was attained with great difficulty, and one had to undergo a lot of tests. Who knows why it's become so easy in Kali Yuga, in this age? I hadn't noticed that it was so easy, by the way. Still, it's necessary for a person to follow sadhana, spiritual practice, with firm faith. This is the siddha path. And you cannot measure this path. You cannot limit it. Once a disciple called Yusuf ibn al-Hussein, this is a Sufi story. Baba had a lot of affinity with the Sufis, who are the mystical side of Islam. They're very similar to the yogis. So he said, so this disciple from Egypt was living with a Siddha guru called Dol Ilnon. He went there to do seva, to serve. When he got there, the guru said, "Hey, sit over there." So he sat there, and after a year, the guru called him, "Where have you come from?" He said, "I come from Ray." The guru said, "All right." Then another year passed. Again, the guru called him close and asked, "For what work have you come?" Hossein said, "I've come for your darshan, to see you, to meet you." Then the guru called him a third time after 3 years. See, this is the way it used to be. They really tested you. They made you sit there and for years and just shut up. They paid no attention. "Hey, Hossein, what do you want?" He said, "I want the touch of your divine inner Shakti and also the secret mantra that you have." So the guru gave him a basket that contained a box and said, "Look, across that river lives a great saint called Hazrat Hussein. Go to him and give him this container. He will give you everything." So after 3 years of practice with him, he's going to go and get awakened, right? Yusuf walked and walked, and when he approached the river, he heard a rattling noise inside the container. He became very curious about what the rattling was, so he opened the box. A mouse jumped out of the box and ran away. He wondered what to do. He thought it was better to keep on going, so he went on to the saint. Even though the saint was old, he was strong. He kept a stick with him as he sat there. He had a stick. Yeah. Great sitters do not flatter others. They do not feed them chocolate, saying politely, "Please take this mantra, please repeat the mantra, your inner Shakti will be awakened." See, that's where I fail. I give out chocolates and I say, "Please say the mantra." Other people talk like this. It's useful in mundane life. Yusuf went up to the saint and said, "I come on behalf of Guru Dol Ilnon. He gave me a gift to give you. I opened it, looked inside, and saw there was a mouse, then it ran away." The saint was very forceful. He said, "Get out of here, you rascal. You couldn't even take care of a mouse. What would you do with the mantra? The great mantra contains divine energy, divine Shakti. Get out of here, leave immediately. How will you be able to hold what I can give you if you can't hold a mouse in a box?" The man put both his hands on his head and went back. He told the entire story to his guru, Dol Ilnon. Terrible now, right? It has a good outcome, I think. Ready to hear the good outcome? The guru said, "It's all right. It's not your time yet. Go back to your house. After 20 years, you'll either meet someone else or else you can come here and I'll give you the mantra. Until then, do some practice. Go." And Baba says, "The Siddha path has strange ways." Well, if it takes you 20 years to get there, it's worth it. You know? But you can save yourself a lot of trouble if you don't open the box. You know? All right, last one. And this is a beautiful one. Question. "Sometimes when I'm chanting or listening to you, a strong emotion of love comes over me. Love for you, for myself, and for the world. I feel a need to express it, but I feel frustrated because I don't know how." And Baba says, "Whenever you experience this rush of love in your heart for yourself and for everything else in this world, you should hold on to that state." Like the Buddha, isn't it? Bhavanarako, hold that state. That is the doorway to divinity. That is the key. Don't let go of it. Follow the upward shift and stay with that. The truth is that this world is full of love. This world is an embodiment of the bliss of God. Look at those trees. God's love is vibrating in them. Look at water. God's love is vibrating in water. Look at the faces of all the people. God's love is vibrating there. And it's true, but it all depends on our vision, doesn't it?
Yes.
When we're full of love, the whole world is full of love. And when we're full of hate, the whole world is full of hate. Baba says, if you don't feel any love in your heart, it's because you haven't turned within and found it within yourself. A poet saint has said, I see the root of all joys sparkling and shimmering everywhere. That is God's bliss. That is God's own being. In all states of consciousness, in waking dream and deep sleep, in all the thoughts and feelings of my heart, I see only God's bliss and love vibrating. Since I became immersed in God's love, the distinction between these states of consciousness has disappeared. So don't be allergic to the word God. It refers to the universal consciousness. It refers to the inner self. It refers to our essence. There is only one thing I know, Baba says, and that is God's bliss and love. I'm experiencing supreme bliss. Oh, no, this is a saint still speaking. I'm experiencing supreme bliss all around me, above and below, in front and behind. There is only one ocean surrounding me, and that is the ocean of God. Baba says, you should keep experiencing more and more of your inner bliss, even while you're engaged in different activities. So what does that mean? It's no joke. It's not easy. It means we have to observe, we have to be vigilant, we have to have an inner discipline, a mental discipline. We have to see what tracks our thoughts go down that creates harm for us, that put us into a depression, a low state. And we have to move away from that. We have to see what paths we go up, where there's an upward shift, and we have to choose them. It's very simple to talk about, very difficult to practice, but there must be a practice. It can be done. It's been done repeatedly by great beings in all traditions. He says, let your mind become soaked with that. If there was a time when you didn't feel love, you yourself were responsible for that. It was not another person. It was not the circumstances. It was not your unfortunate horoscope or whatever. It was because of unskillful way you use your mind. That's what he's saying. Now that you've started feeling love, it's your responsibility to unfold more of it. Simple, isn't it? Move towards love, away from the negative. You can always find a way to express your love for everyone. Whenever you get into that state, try to find out how you got there. That's inquiry. Why? Find out why you're in a bad state so that you can not repeat it and get rid of it. Find out why you're in a good state so that you can repeat it. There's always an underlying cause. And the cause of being in a contracted state is always some form of ignorance, some wrong movement. And the cause of being in an expanded state is you're connecting with something deep inside, the self inside. So there's Baba. Pretty good, huh? He was the best. So let's meditate. You know, what Baba's talking about is not a fiction, and it's not a foreign language. It's not far from us. It's something that's available to all of us. I'm absolutely convinced of that. And everyone has to crack the riddle of their own awareness. Every one of us has certain tendencies. Some people are given more to anger. Some people are more given to worry and fear. And some people are given to great depression and sorrow. And it, whatever we're afflicted by, it seems like the worst thing in the world. But we have to solve that problem, and any of those can be overcome by working with the mind properly, by saying the mantra, by doing inquiry, by meditating. We strengthen the mind and it moves towards the positive. It moves towards joy, it moves towards peace, and it moves towards love. So let's meditate now. And we meditate on the essence of who we are, the self within, the divinity within. And once again, with great respect and love, I welcome you all with all my heart. So let's meditate now. Satguru Nath, Maharaj Ki Jai.